as you know, during the legislative session, there are hundreds of bills being debated in Hartford. And unfortunately, the clock is also ticking. We know that we only have until the beginning of May to get as much passed or looked at as possible. And unfortunately, we don't usually see a whole lot of bills even see the light of day, let alone get a vote on them. But what's interesting is today there's a huge public hearing on a couple of bills really looking at elections and how we run them here in the state of Connecticut. One bill in particular, House Bill 5498, reportedly tackles a lot of great things, especially after what we saw happen in Bridgeport during the primary mayoral election in September of 2023. This bill, according to the Secretary of the State, reportedly tackles surveillance of absentee ballot drop boxes, modifications to absentee ballot data, and it even has, I would say, absentee ballot reforms, like who can apply for these replacement ballots. So it's not all bad. However, we were alerted to something that was very troublesome. It sounds very troublesome. It is Section 27, which looks at the use of independent. In fact, the specific wording in this says if this bill were to pass, it would prohibit the use of independent or any similar word in any party designation recorded with the Secretary of the State. So what exactly does that mean? And why is this a potential concern for Connecticut residents who are eligible to vote? So for that, we go to one of our legal experts, somebody who I trust and love to go to get a better understanding, layman's terms, of when there's a lot of big jargon being used and we may not even realize what's being talked about up in Hartford or in some of these major cases. And so Bill Bloss is back with us, and we love to talk to Bill Bloss of the Koskoff Law Firm. And he actually has a tie to what happened in Bridgeport because he represented John Gomes after absentee ballot fraud was being looked at and a judge actually ordered a redo of the election because there was clearly fraud detected in surveillance video during that primary election in September of 2023. Bill Bloss, welcome back to the show, and thank you for your time.
Hi, Melissa. Good morning.
Can you, first of all, outline for us in the most simple terms you can, Bill, what exactly is concerning about this Section 27 when we say banning or prohibiting independent? What does that mean?
Well, there has been a statewide independent party in Connecticut since 2008. There were local independent party chapters before 2008 in Waterbury and Danbury and a couple of other towns. What the Secretary of the State is proposing is that the statewide independent party, local independent parties, would be forced to abandon their name. They would have to be forced to change names to something else by January of 2025. It's as simple as that. The name independent party would cease to exist, and they would have to rebrand themselves.
So I know you didn't pitch this idea, Bill, but why? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know, this is really, it's deeply, deeply troubling because, you know, the independent party, and I should say, I've represented the independent party in litigation in Connecticut. Went to the Connecticut Supreme Court a few years back on an issue of control. The independent party chose that name for a reason, and that is to express its independence from the two major parties and to be an alternative to the two major parties. This was definitely not my idea. This was sprung on the independent party. There was no dialogue about it. There was no communication. I found about it by accident, frankly, when I was asked to look at the absentee ballot issues. And so I was shocked, frankly, to see that Secretary Thomas was proposing taking this away. So I don't know what for sure what the secretary is thinking about by making this proposal. I have heard kind of forthhand that some people who register as independent party members think that they were registering as unaffiliated voters, so that if they switch their registration to Democrat or Republican to vote in a primary, that there is a 90-day waiting period, cooling off period, before you can change party registrations. And so some number, some unknown number of people apparently thought they were unaffiliated when in fact they were independent party members and weren't able to vote in a major party primary. And that's what the genesis of this is, I think. But it's really awful to imagine that a party of 16 years existence statewide gets punished because some people made a mistake on a voter registration form that is unclear, frankly. It's Connecticut's voter registration form does not do a good job telling people or offering people a choice about what their party membership should be.
So forgive me. And again, we have Bill Bloss here, who is one of our legal experts on the show and came across this really troubling section of, again, House Bill 5498, which really looks at how our elections are run and what we could do to make them, get, you know, bring back voter confidence and make them clean and fair elections, because we have seen just in this past election cycle what happened in Bridgeport. But we certainly have seen, unfortunately, election fraud happen in the state of Connecticut too many times to count. And so with this eliminating independent, so what you're saying, Bill, is that the independent party would have to come up with a new name. Why? And I know you didn't create this, but what difference would that make? It just, to me, adds more confusion. And I just don't know if this is more of like a manipulation tactic to make people go with one party over another. It's just so confusing to me.
Well, I think there are a couple of foundational principles here. One, the major parties don't like minor parties. They're not going to make it easier for minor parties to attract support. You know, there are in my town, the independent party is the second largest party in terms of votes, members, elected members of boards, appointed members of commissions. You know, so the major parties are never going to make it easier for minor parties. You can take that to the bank, and that's true everywhere. I think the thing that really is troubling about this is there's been no data, there's no study, there's no analysis of how many people are really confused about the difference between independent and unaffiliated. You know, how many people, when they registered as independents, thought they were registering as unaffiliated voters. Not members of any particular party. Connecticut is a really great state in many respects. The government fundamentally works. But one thing we do too often is govern by anecdote. You know, somebody says at a barbecue, gee, you should do something about this. And then somebody raises it as a proposal. I think that's what's happened here. There have been some handful of people who wanted to vote in a major party primary who attempted to switch from independent party to the major party and had to sit it out because there's this 90-day cooling off period if you switch party registrations. But that's, Melissa, I wish I could give you a better argument for it or a better case for it. I think that's all it is.
And the independent party, is very pleased to be able to be offering ballot access to John, because if he didn't have the independent line, I mean, would he have even been able to get, you know, he wouldn't have been able to get in front of the people.
So you're hearing from Lisa Brinton. This was just before the general election redo in the city of Bridgeport. And Lisa is the Norwalk Town Chair of the Independent Party. She plans to testify today against a specific section of House Bill 5498, which looks to bar the Independent Party from using the word independent. And we have Bill Bloss here, who's our legal expert on the morning show. He's with the Koskoff Law Firm, and he's talking about what sounds like a very deep concern for Connecticut voters. Bill also happened to have represented John Gomes when they were in court looking at the surveillance video of alleged absentee ballot fraud during the September primary in 2023 for the mayoral race in Bridgeport. Bill, I've talked to Lisa off the air and plan to have her come on after she testifies today to talk more about this. But she and others have said that creating this Section 27 kind of deep in this House bill that looks at fair and clean elections in Connecticut, she feels this is a direct response to what happened in Bridgeport between John Gomes and Mayor Ganim. And she feels that this is an attack as kind of a retaliation and putting people in their place, because we saw a lot of independent party representatives back John Gomes. So I wasn't sure if you also felt there was a connection there, or if you feel this is just a decision that's being made by the Secretary of the State without a lot of thought.
You know, that's a really good question. I can't say that I made that connection. On the other hand, based on what I do for a job, I don't believe in coincidences either. You know, so it's something. This is the independent party has been around for in either local or statewide fashion for over 20 years. And so, what is it about 2024 that leads the secretary to say, "Well, it's time to bar them from using the name"? I mean, you know, anything's possible. I don't know what the motivating factor was. There was zero communication between the secretary's office and independent party leadership. I actually called the independent party statewide chair or emailed him last week when I found out about this, and he said, "I never heard about this. Nobody reached out to me. Nobody offered any explanation to me," which is really kind of astounding that party leadership was just completely kept in the dark about this until the bill had been introduced and the hearing scheduled. It's really, really awful.
So to help people understand, because one of the things that we try to do during any of the legislative sessions is to encourage people to speak up, whether they support or oppose bills, pieces of legislation, what have you. Help people to understand, Bill, if this were to pass, if Section 27 were to get the green light, what would that mean for voters? I know it wouldn't go into effect till January of 2025, but what would that mean for Connecticut voters when they go to the polls?
Well, what it would mean is that there could be no candidate on the independent party line, which obviously John Gomes was on the independent party line. In towns all across Connecticut, there have been voters on the independent party line. For the constitutional officers in the last election, statewide election, there were candidates on the independent party line. That party would cease to exist under that name. And so it would either have to reform and rebrand, starting over again with the 20 years of branding and work that the party's done with some other name, or it would just cease to exist and cease to provide any alternative to voters at all. But I will tell you, Melissa, that if this happens, I will file a lawsuit under the Equal Protection Clause and under the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, challenging it. California tried to do this in 2019. The General Assembly there passed a bill prohibiting the use of independent and party names, but Governor Newsom vetoed it on the ground that it was almost certainly unconstitutional. So you can't pick on one party like this. You can't say, well, we're going to strip one party of its name and leave everybody else alone. So it's not well thought out. It's just really deeply unfortunate.
Mm. I mean, and the other thing, too, that's kind of confusing about this bill is what happens like with national races. So, OK, so if we were to, by some chance, eliminate the independent party for local and state elections, there's still the independent party nationally. Correct. I mean, it's confusing. So is this just to kind of right? I don't know.
Well, I mean, under the bill as written, it would mean that if somebody got and it's actually a really good point. The parties exist basically on a state by state basis.
Mm-hmm.
And so if somebody, let's say somebody got Ross Perot actually qualified as an independent independent party member in 1992. So Ross Perot could run as an independent in California, because it's legal to use the word independent in California in your party name. But if this passed, he would not be able to appear in Connecticut under the independent party label. So somebody could run as an independent party member in 49 states, but in Connecticut, he or she would have to be something else. It's nonsensical. It's just, again, very poorly thought out.
Yeah, well, and I mean, and look, I know in many sectors, and you could certainly speak to this too, we are not great as a whole with change. I mean, I think it's interesting, but even now, 5 years later, I will still get asked where my former co-host is on WACC. It's been 5 years that I've been solo, and there are still people who listen to the show wondering where the other person is. I mean, it takes time to adjust to change, and if people don't see independent as an option and they're not up on the news and they're not realizing. It's not like we have elections every single day. It's a couple times a year. So when people go to the polls, if they don't see independent, they are most likely going to just go with Republican or Democrat. And I think that's really sad. I think that's really unfortunate if this were to pass. I think that's it's also kind of shady, to be honest, at least as a voter myself. I'm just saying that as a voter, I would be upset about that.
The major parties do not like competition. That is a, again, a foundational principle. And this reduces competition,
yeah.
Period.
Well, I appreciate you outlining this for us, Bill, and it does sound like this is deeply concerning, and certainly people can speak out on this, talk about this, and we'll certainly continue to follow this story after today's public hearing. Thank you so much, Bill, for your time. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right. Again, Bill Bloss, our legal expert on the show here on WACC.